It is our privilege tonight to have with us Joseph and Abigail Hodges. They got married, I believe, in May of this year. Is that right? And then it was preparation for candidate school and recently approved and now on deputation. And so we are very thankful to have them with us tonight. And so, Brother Joseph, would you come and share your ministry, you and your wife's ministry, and the burden that you have for Honduras?
Thank you, Pastor. Yes, sir. Thank you. All righty. Well, good evening tonight, Grace Bible Church. It's a joy for my wife and I to be here. As Pastor said, my name is Joseph Hodges. This is my wife, Abby. Would you stand, Abby, just for a minute? That's my beautiful wife. And as Pastor said, we've just been married for about 5 months. We got married in May. We actually graduated from Bible college in May. We got married in May and started traveling to raise our support in May. And God has just been really good. He's been blessing us. Mark chapter 16 is where we'll be tonight. If you have your Bibles, Mark chapter 16. Again, thank you, Pastor Brainerd, so much for the opportunity to be here tonight. Mark chapter 16 is where we're going to be tonight. I'll start reading in verse 9, Mark chapter 16, verse 9, and I'll read all the way down to verse 14. If you would follow along, please, you just quietly. I'll read in Mark chapter 16, verse 9. The Bible says, "Now when Jesus was risen early the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven devils. And she went and told them that had been with them as they mourned and wept. And they, when they had heard that he was alive and had been seen of her, believed not. After that, he appeared in another form unto two of them as they walked and went into the country. And they went and told it unto the residue, neither believed they them. Afterward, he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat, and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen." I'll read verse 15. I'll go ahead and read it. And the Bible says, "And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your word, Lord. I'm so thankful for, Lord, not just how the Bible starts, but how it finishes, and how the Bible is so clear that you are God, and that you win, and that you are risen, and that you're alive. Lord, I know that people are busy. I know that people have work tomorrow. And Lord, I just pray that for a few moments that we would focus on your word, Lord, that you would hide me behind the cross, and that you would just be glorified tonight as we open your law and your word, and we just study it and meditate on it. I pray that you would encourage us, Lord, tonight in this issue of sharing the gospel. We love you so much. In Jesus' name, amen. I believe it was back in 1974, and this is a true story. Back in 1974, this was 29 years after World War II had finished. There were these reports coming into Japan about a Japanese soldier who was on this remote island in the Philippines who still believe that World War II was going on. Has anyone ever heard that? Okay, a few of you. And this Japanese soldier, 29 years after the war was over, and he's on this island still fighting World War II. And he would come in and out of the jungles and raid a Filipino village and kill everyone and steal their supplies and rush back in the jungle. And he just kept doing this. And Japan heard about it, and they actually got these airplanes, and they littered the whole country with these flyers that announced that Japan had officially ended the war, that all soldiers should return home. And this Japanese soldier actually found these pamphlets. He saw them and he thought, oh, this must be a lie. This can't be true. And he threw them away and he kept fighting the war. Well, after that, Japan, they printed some more flyers, and these were handwritten letters from his own family with pictures of his family saying, it's true. The war's over. Surrender and come back home. And reports say that this soldier actually found these papers as well. And he thought they were a hoax. He threw them away and he kept fighting the war. And it wasn't until finally Japan sent a small army in to actually capture him and really get it through his head that the war was over, that he finally put down his gun and came home. And, you know, when I first came across this story, I thought, wow, what a tragedy. 29 years fighting a war, all because he wasn't aware of what's going on. You know, here in the book of Mark, as we end the gospel of Mark, and we have this wonderful account of Jesus being risen from the dead. He's alive. And boy, I love the fact that Jesus came to earth. I love the fact that he died on the cross for our sins. But what I love the most is that he's risen. and he's alive. That proved that he's God. That proved he could conquer sin. That proved he could be our Savior. And as he appears several times, and these reports come into the disciples, and I don't want to beat up on them too hard because so many times I'm just like them. But these disciples had unbelief, the Bible says, and hardness of heart. And Jesus comes to them and he upbraids them. It's kind of a strong word. He rebukes them. He's getting on to them because they didn't believe the reports they heard. And they're hiding in this little room. They're not doing what God had commanded them to do. And the Lord Jesus, in his mercy and in his patience, he comes and he tells them, guys, I want you to go get out and preach the gospel. And really, that's just kind of the main thought that I want to share tonight, and maybe think, oh boy, here's the missionary talk again. Of course, go and preach the gospel. But just approaching it with the perspective that sharing the gospel is a great opportunity that we have. And I know just from experience, so many times in my life, I miss out on the opportunity, on the privilege it is to share the gospel. And just briefly tonight, for a few minutes, we're going to look at just three reasons why God wants us to share the gospel. Three reasons, not why just us in generally, but why you, Christian, should share the gospel. And I want to be clear tonight, I'm not saying three reasons why you should be a missionary or you know, raise your support and go to another country and have that be in vocational ministry. God has called us all to preach the gospel. If you're here and you're a Christian and you know that you're saved, God wants you to share the gospel. And it's a privilege that we have. And you don't have to be a, you know, quote unquote official missionary or have support raised or anything like that. You can share the gospel with your coworkers. Boy, there's such a need. Just here in Milton, as we've driven around here several times, and the need for the gospel is all over the world. And here, the Lord Jesus, he comes and he says, disciples, you need to go and share the gospel. You need to go into all the world and preach the gospel for three reasons. And that first reason tonight, if you're taking notes, is because we have been changed. We've been changed. I know it's a simple thought, but Jesus said in verse 16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be what? Shall be saved. I love how the Bible doesn't say hopefully, maybe. Just last week, my wife and I were witnessing to a lady from Mexico that we met up in Delaware where we were at. And her name was Alondra, and a kind, sweet lady. And I said, you know where you're going when you die one day. And she said, well, I hope I'm going to heaven, but no one can really know. But the Bible says so many times that if you do this or if you meet this criteria, you are saved. You shall be saved. And the Bible says here, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Now, we know obviously that baptism isn't a part of salvation. It's an outward symbol of an inward reality. And now I can finally use this illustration that I heard all my life. You know, just like my wedding ring that I'm proud to wear doesn't make me unmarried if I take it off. It's an outward symbol of an inward reality. But Jesus says here, if you believe, you will be saved. And boy, what a thought that I would just like us to pause tonight, Christians tonight at Grace Bible Church, and remember that we have been changed. What has God changed? First of all, he's changed our eternal destiny. You know, there was a time when you did not exist. But after you were born, there will never be a time that you will not exist. And boy, what a almighty, powerful God we have to give us a soul that will live forever. And to think that soul, my soul, was condemned to hell because of my sin. And to think that I was on my way to a lost hell without God because of my sin. But God in his mercy sent his son to die for me and to die for the world, that whosoever believes on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Boy, the gospel changes our eternal destiny. Have you ever taken time to just think about what it would be like to not be saved? I mean, just imagine waking up tomorrow and imagining that you weren't saved. How would your marriage look? How would your job look? How would your relationship with your children or your parents look? My life would be totally different. I would definitely not be here if I wasn't saved, obviously. And boy, just stopping and taking that time to realize that God, in his love, sent his son to die for me. God has changed my eternal destiny. You know, imagine with me, I see several parents here, several fathers who have a son. And I don't want to be too graphic or too emotional, but imagine someone breaking into your home at night and taking the life of one of your sons. Boy, I would be upset. I would definitely take that person to court. I would want to see justice done, right? And I know you would, and that would be the right thing to do. But imagine with me a father who had his son, the life of his son taken by this man who broke into his home to do harm. And imagine with me this guilty criminal before the judge, and the verdict is given for death, which he rightly deserves. And imagine that father coming and saying, you know what, judge, I want you to forgive this person, and I want you to let him go. And this father comes to the criminal and says, you know what, I want you to come home and live with me, and you're going to be my son now. And in fact, you're going to have everything that my son would have had. You'll sleep in the bed that my son slept in. You'll wear the clothes that my son would have worn. You'll eat the food that he would have eaten. And one day when I'm old and I die, you'll have the inheritance that he would have had. Boy, I don't know if I can't say if I would do that as a father, but that's what God the Father in his love did for me and did for you. We were that criminal. And when God sent his son to die for us, he changed our eternal destiny. Not only did he change our eternal destiny, but just practically in my life, the gospel has changed my everyday decisions. You know, the way that I live my life now is totally different than I would be living without the Lord. Knowing that there's going to be a judgment, knowing that I obviously my salvation's not at stake, but my relationship with the Lord, the blessings that I'll have, being able to hear the words, well done. And just the way I view life has changed since the gospel came into my life. And Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned, that is condemned. You know, it's a night and day difference that a person has when the gospel gets a hold of them. I think of the town drunk. I don't know if you ever seen Andy Griffith, you know, and you know Otis Campbell, the town drunk, right? And this was the town drunk in our town. His name was Jose. And always passed out on the street. His kids would have to come drag him home, literally drag him on the road home to get him back. And boy, one day he heard the gospel and he got saved. And his life turned completely around. He brought all his family, I think he had 8 kids, brought all his kids to church, raised his kids in our church. And he still comes. He's one of the bus drivers that drives one of our buses. And just how the gospel makes a night and day difference in the everyday decisions that we have. And Christian, because the gospel has changed us, the Lord Jesus Christ tells us that we ought to go and share that. Again, maybe you're not going to go to China. Maybe you won't go to Honduras. But God wants us to share the fact that we've been changed. Not only have we been changed, but secondly, we should share the gospel because we have been challenged. We're being challenged. Jesus said in verse 15, go ye. This is a command. Jesus didn't say, now, I'd really like for you to consider it. It'd probably be a good thing if you did it. He said to go. Hudson Taylor, the missionary to China, said the Great Commission is not an option to be considered. It's a command to be obeyed. And boy, you know, as I look around at the young people here tonight, some of these kids, you know, one thing that Abby and I are doing, one of my favorite things is we're not just going around presenting our ministry in Honduras, but we're also recruiting. We're out sharing the need that there is a world that's dying and going to hell. And boy, I could just imagine that maybe God would challenge some of these young people, some of these children, to maybe one day be a missionary and go to another part of the world. I'm going to show here on a map that I have. I have a little map of the world. And, you know, we have here we all know where the United States is, and I'm proud to be a citizen of our wonderful country. You know, 96% of the world's population lives outside of the United States. Yet most of the churches that we have that are teaching the Bible, that are teaching the gospel, are inside the United States. And boy, there's just such a need here in the United States. By no means am I saying that, oh, we don't need another church here in the United States. We travel, my wife and I have been as far north as Maine. I think this is the farthest south we've been so far. We're going to California next week. We've been as far west as Missouri. But boy, there is a need for churches here. And someone who wants to start a church or share the gospel here, by all means should do that. But just on that scale, how much more there's a need around the world as well. And, you know, as Abby and I travel, we just want to remind the young people that God can use you if you'll surrender your life to Him. And it's not really about your ability as much as it is about your availability. And, you know, whether you go overseas, the need isn't greater in other parts as it is here. God has just commanded us to share the gospel where we're at, with your coworkers, with maybe some family members you have, maybe some neighbors. God has commanded us to share the gospel. He's challenging us. First of all, maybe today God is challenging the belief that we have of option. You know, sometimes in my life, I think that, well, you know, someone else can do it. And so many times I've walked away from a situation where I felt the Holy Spirit so clearly saying, Joseph, you're the person that I really like to share the gospel in. I have to admit, so many times I've walked away wondering, wow, was I the person's last chance? Was I the one that God was trying to use to share the gospel, and I walked away from it? I hope not. And I know there's a lot of theology there, and you know, I know that God's good and that He will always give a sinner a chance to repent if He wants to. But I do know this, God wants to use us. God wants to use me as a tool. Maybe He's challenging our beliefs that we have of option. Maybe He's challenging our borders. You know, again, not necessarily maybe our foreign borders. Maybe God doesn't want you to cross a physical border. But what borders in our life can we expand? Maybe on social media, we need to reach out more and be a better witness. Maybe at our workplace, we need to stretch our borders a little bit and meet some more people that we work with and just lovingly ask them about their souls. One thing that I've started doing personally is, and there's so many ways, so I'm not here to say, I want to be very clear, I'm not here to say this way's good or this way's bad. You know, so many times in my life, I'm nervous. I get nervous to share the gospel. And so many times I want to kind of work up to it. You know, hey, the flowers are nice today. The sky's really pretty. You know, do you go to church anywhere? But you know, so many of the great opportunities, just as experience, my own, you know, small personal experience. So many times I've found great conversations when I just lovingly confront someone and say, hey, I just want to ask you, do you know where you're going one day after this life? Just getting right to the point. And I found so many people that just appreciate that honestly. And, you know, even if they don't believe or whatever, at least they appreciate the fact that I told them exactly what I was concerned about. You know, God is challenging our beliefs. Maybe He's challenging our borders. I really believe that all of us have a little bit more that we could do for the gospel. Several years ago, we were in Honduras, and I was probably 10, and we were in this car. And for some reason, my dad bought this car. I think it must have been a really good deal. It was a white Chevy Suburban. The windows were tinted completely black. It was slightly jacked up. It had these massive tires on it. You're thinking what I'm thinking, right? It looked like a drug cartel car. The dash actually had it set up, the previous owner, where every time you hit a bump, the dash would light up with flames. So it was just this really, it actually was hooked up to run off of propane as well. It had a propane tank in the back. So it was just, it must have been a really good deal. I don't know why else he bought it. It was four-wheel drive, and we need that where we live a lot. But anyway, we got stopped by the police every time we were driving around in that car. Really, we did. But anyway, one time we were stuck in traffic in the capital city, and car in front of us, car behind us, and these two men came up on a motorcycle and got off and pulled my dad's door open and stuck a 9mm gun to his head and said, you know, give us all your money. And of course, we had just come from the bank, right? And I think they had followed us. And I think my dad had about $200 on him, so it wasn't all our life savings, thankfully. But, you know, at that moment, my dad didn't say, well, I'll think about it. I'll consider it. I'll pray about it. You know, I'll get back with you. He had no option but to give him that money. You know, sometimes in my life, I forget that the Bible says, he that believeth not is condemned already. They won't be condemned one day. They're condemned already. And it's almost as if Satan has a gun to people's head, and they're already on their way to hell. And, you know, sometimes I think, well, they're going to get mad at me if I, you know, ask them about their soul. And I just have to realize, well, they're probably going to be a whole lot more mad one day if they have to go to hell because I wasn't bold enough to share the gospel with them. Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. God wants to use you. God wants to use me as a tool. He doesn't need us. He can use other people. And again, if people want to get saved and seek the Lord, the scriptures teach that God will provide a way. No person will have an excuse. But he said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. God is challenging our borders. He's challenging our beliefs. You know, every second they say that about 2 people in the world are dying. According to one website, there's parts of the world that still have no clue of who Jesus is. I have a friend in China, and he walked up to a man and said, hey, do you know about Jesus? And the man looked at him and said, what is a Jesus? But, you know, there's parts of the world who don't even know who Jesus is, but they have Coca-Cola, they have internet, they have all these things. We have to share the gospel. I have to share the gospel more because God has changed me and he's challenged me. There's a need nearby. You know, I was just in Pensacola a while ago. I witnessed to a man named Clay, and he was out in a park down here in Pensacola, right here in our area. And he said, you know, I've had Jehovah's Witnesses come to me. I've met Mormons come to me, but I've never really talked with a Baptist or a Christian or someone who believed the gospel. And, you know, just here in our own area, there are people that need to hear it. I think of James Gilmore. He was a missionary to Mongolia. He said, it's not that I haven't found a good enough reason for going. It's that I haven't found a good enough reason for staying. I think I messed that up. Hopefully you get what I'm saying. He said, basically, I want to go unless someone stops me. You know, Christian, we ought to find ways to go and share the gospel. And I know things are different, and I'm not saying we need to be reckless or rude, but there's so many ways, even with COVID and even with all the restrictions, there are ways to share the gospel. Quickly tonight, and we're done, not only should we share the gospel, because Jesus has changed us. He's changed our eternal destiny. He's changed our everyday decisions. He's challenging our beliefs. He's challenging our borders. But lastly, God wants us to share the gospel tonight because you have been cherished. Look with me at verse 17. The Bible says, Jesus is speaking to us. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Now, Abby and I haven't been to any churches that have done snake handling or drinking poison, though we've been told to watch out because there are still some churches like that. And obviously, you know, these were sign gifts. These were gifts that were given to these apostles and to the early church because the Word of God was not finished. It wasn't completed. Now the Word of God is finished. We have something better than handling serpents or better than drinking poison and not dying. We have the Word of God that is able to make people wise unto salvation. And boy, what a privilege we have to share the Word. I see here, though, as I look at these words, I see Jesus' protection. I see that his protection here is overcoming the devil. I see Satan, I see serpents and sickness all being thwarted and bound. I see the very curse of sin being defeated as the gospel is changing people's lives. And Christian, I hope that we understand that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And may God give us boldness. I try to pray every day that God would just give me boldness. That's my biggest issue. It's not the opportunity to find people to witness. It's just boldness. And I just pray, you know, God, give me boldness right now. So many times, you know, I think, well, when I get to Honduras and I step off the airplane, I'll just magically become bold and start street preaching and telling everybody. But really, the way Abby and I see souls now is the way we're going to see them in Honduras, because people are just people. And I ask God, God, give me boldness to share the gospel. Give us boldness. Jesus has changed us. He's challenging us. But lastly, he cherishes us. He gives us this protection. He's given us his Word to comfort us, to guide us, to direct our decisions. The Bible should be the basis for every decision we make. It should be our final authority. He's given us the local church and the pastor to guide us. He's given us Christian friends to be encouraged. We have so many blessings. We have the Holy Spirit who indwells us. And boy, I'm thankful for God who indwells us. We have so many blessings that the Lord has cherished us and showed us. Verse 19 says,
So then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere. What does the Bible say? The Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Amen. I see the Lord working with them. You know, that is what is going to change Honduras. Abby and I are not essential to the gospel. You know, so many times, one of the biggest things that we have to watch being on deputation is pride. You know, we think, boy, aren't we special in going to another country to share the gospel? But, you know, one thing that I try to tell myself is that God doesn't need us. If Abby and I get a big head or if we're not walking with the Lord, God could easily raise up a whole bunch of other people to go to Honduras and probably do a better job than we would do, right? But I'm thankful that it's a privilege to be a part of God's work. And I want to be a part of it. God's going to do His work. People are going to get saved, but I want to be a part of it. I want to stand before the Lord one day and say, Lord, I love you so much that I was a part of that person hearing the gospel. I was used. Revelation chapter 4 says that we were created for His pleasure. You know, William Carey, missionary to India, he said, I'm not afraid of failure. He said, I'm afraid of succeeding at something that doesn't really matter. John Wesley, a great revivalist, said that we have but one business, and that is the souls of men. Hudson Taylor, missionary to China, also said that so many times the reason for an unsatisfied life is because of an unsurrendered will. David Livingston, the missionary to Africa, he said that the best cure for a sick church, a church that's struggling, is missions. Whether that's foreign missions or just missions right where you're at, the gospel will help any church grow and stay alive. And Jesus here, he said, go, share the gospel. The disciples were hiding out. They were afraid. And I'm like this so many times. But he said, you need to go share the gospel, first of all, because I've changed you. I'm challenging you. And I cherish you. God loves us with an everlasting love. His protection overcomes the devil. And secondly, His presence overcomes discouragement. You know, there's some discouraging times on the mission field. Abby and I, we're young. We haven't really had that many big things. So I'm not one to personally talk of big discouragement. But I'm sure there's people here who have maybe lost a loved one or had some really major crises in their life. And I know my parents on the mission field have had, you know, several people. I know they've said personally the hardest thing about their ministry has been investing in people and having those same people stab them in the back. We've had people sue us before. We've had people turn on us, like I said, break in our church and steal things that we're training for ministry, you know, of all things. But, you know, that's going to happen. But God's presence overcomes discouragement. The disciples here, as they went out, and we read in the book of Acts, they definitely didn't have an easy time. But the Lord was working with them. Grace Bible Church, God is working with you. I hope more than anything tonight, just to be an encouragement that God loves us. He's with us. And, you know, so many times the gospel just seems like this duty, this thing we have to do. And if I don't do it, I'm not going to be right with the Lord. But I hope that we're aware tonight, unlike that soldier who was fighting that war that was already over. I hope that we're aware that God has already won our war. There's a lot of battles to be won, but He's won the war. And if we're saved, we're on our way to heaven. I really believe the Lord's coming back soon. I really do. And I'm just thankful to be on the winning side. I'm thankful to be a part of His great work. Christian, tonight, how can you advance the gospel more? Maybe you didn't advance the gospel by being a better testimony with your family. Husbands, how's your relationship with your wife? Wife with your husbands. Children with your parents. Parents with your children. How's your witness at work, in your neighborhood? God has said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. You know what the gospel means? Good news. We have good news. And I just pray tonight that God would help us to praise Him for it and to rejoice in it and to share that with other people, because that is what it's all about. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your word. And Lord, I just thank you for how it encourages me. I pray that you would encourage tonight every member here at Grace Bible Church, Lord, that I know is doing their part to reach their area of the world. And I pray that you just keep us faithful, Lord. Give us encouragement and just help us to keep our eyes on you, and that we would just be faithful to do what you've told us to do. We love you so much. In Jesus' name. Amen.
It's refreshing to see a young couple that seeks to do God's will, to carry the gospel. And I'm encouraged tonight by their burden. And they're going to be out in the foyer to answer any questions that you have. They have a beautiful display out there. And we thank the Lord for burdening their heart. Second generation missionaries. We've seen that so many times through the years where the next generation captures the vision of mom and dad who went to the field. And so we thank the Lord for their ministry and their desire to go and take the gospel to Honduras. Would you stand with me, please, as we conclude our service tonight? I hope that you'll take time to pick up their prayer card and that you would remember them in prayer, that you would seek to ask the Lord what you can do. We've got a lot of children in this church. I'm praying that God would raise up some missionaries. Amen. We've got some young people that God could touch hearts and lives and say, I'll go. I'll carry the gospel. It doesn't have to be a missionary family on the field that has to produce all the missionaries for the future. We can help and we can aid in that as God calls and directs hearts and lives. Father in heaven, I'm so thankful for the challenge that we've heard tonight and for the witness of this young couple, of their desire to go to Honduras and to continue the work started by Joseph's parents, a burden to reach the lost in a very difficult place, the murder capital of the world. I pray that you would help us not to be afraid, but that we might reach out as well. We have neighbors in our area, our community, that need to be saved. They need to hear the gospel. Who's going to tell them? It should be us. Help us, Father, to care enough to share the gospel. We have co-workers that we're with all day long, and yet rarely does the conversation go to the things of the Lord, to the gospel that they need desperately. Lord, help us not to be so self-absorbed in our positions and in our jobs that we fail to realize that we have a responsibility to Thee to share the good news of Jesus Christ. I pray now Your blessing upon us all, and especially upon Joseph and Abigail. We pray, Father, that You'd help them to reach their support level so that they can go to the field. And we pray they might be able to do so sooner, in spite of the COVID, in spite of all the things that we've seen. We pray, Father, that You'd help them to raise their support so they can go to the field and be used of Thee in a mighty way. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you and good night.